Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
Okay, and we're live. Malcolm, welcome. Good to see you again.
G'day, Richie. Great to be back.
So we're going to dive straight into what is for me a fascinating topic and a really important one to speak to early on in this podcast series, which is what is men's work, actually? And I want to do it from a style of me asking you a lot of questions, specifically because although I've been into this work active and have benefited so much from it for the last 3 or 4 years, that's quite a short space of time. And it was really coming into your circle and becoming close friends with you that I learned a lot. And you've been doing this for way, way longer. So I want to sort of bow to your experience as well as share my own, but get you to kind of share with everybody else what men's work really is, what a circle looks like, etc. So let's begin with an overarching kind of question and just set the tone. Like, what for you is men's work? Where does it originate from?
Cool. Thanks, Richie. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it is a big question. And so for me, you talked about men's work, and then you also, you know, mentioned this piece about men's circles, and I'm in this question, I think I'll speak to probably both of those, because they're really, the men's work is like the overarching field of modern day support for men, if you like, and the circle is a key component to supporting men. So, you know, I mean, many ways men's work is this idea of men working on themselves, really. It's creating a space for men to be able to explore who each of us are, explore our boundaries and get the support that we need to do that. And the circle is one of the most profound ways that we can create the space for men to do that. And I'd like to perhaps, you know, go back. You talked a little bit about the history of it. So, you know, one of the things I think that we don't realize, or many people don't realize, is that, you know, men have been, you know, gathering in circles, supporting each other for millennia. You know, as long as human beings have been gathered, you know, been walking around in tribes and been able to communicate, men have gathered in circles. And, you know, one of my favorite, all-time images, actually, from a movie is from the movie Dances with Wolves, where there was a scene where all the men from that tribe gathered together to talk about a situation, what they should do about it, and in that gathering, they were sitting in a circle in a tent, and each man got an opportunity to get up and speak about, you know, what they thought the tribe should do, but also how they felt about it and what, you know, what was going on for them. And you know, some guys, I can remember there were some of the younger guys getting emotional and, you know, and wanting to go out and fight, and other men, you know, sitting more passively. And then at the end of that, you know, the chief, kind of in the stillness, made a decision. But for me, it's, you know, it perfectly encapsulates what every single culture in the world has this space where men gather together to talk through issues and to try to resolve them in some way and do it in a very supporting environment. I mean, you and I lived in Bali, Richie, and I you know, there's a natural thing where men will sit sit in the Barlays, right? And they'll all sit around and they'll be talking to each other. You know, I don't really know what they'll be talking about, but you know, there's this environment where they're all sitting and they're having an opportunity just to talk. And in the modern Western world, you know, there, for many men, you know, there isn't that place. You know, there's the pub, right? But yes, there might be a deep and meaningful conversation that sometimes happens in the pub, but generally it's created by the lubrication of alcohol, right? Which in many ways doesn't count, because you know, it's not coming from the alcohol's hiding the vulnerability that you need to get into in the circle. So, but you know, so Western world hasn't really got this environment anymore. And you know, and I know in the men's movement, you know, they talk about how when in the Western world, when we moved from this kind of more communal farm-based living into the industrialized life that we now currently live, that was when that separation occurred, where we stopped being able to gather in these kind of more closed, you know, these kind of communal environments. And that was, so that's, you know, back in the 19th century when this dissolution began to happen. And so the men's work and the men's movement is an attempt in some ways to kind of recreate these places and spaces where, you know, where men can get the support that we need. Because as men, I know I need support, right? And but I also know that it's actually really hard to find somewhere in a place that I can go to and know that I can get, be listened to, be supported, without judgment. And the whole intention around the men's work is to help us become better men, better husbands, better partners, you know, better fathers. You know, it's this thing about how can we be more fully ourselves and realize our potential. And that's this intention behind men's work.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because that I resonate with strongly, and those are really, really good and healthy intentions. Because if we sit too much with like how it used to be, it's good for humans to sit in circles. But an interesting anecdote, you know, to sort of take us away from the kind of men making all of the decisions, is that I'd heard an anecdote from some kind of tribe, I don't know if it's still going or not, whereby the men would sort of try and resolve tensions between tribes by fighting it out. But the women, meantime, would sit in a circle together from different tribes and actually make the decisions.
yeah, perfect.
So there's some wisdom in that. But like, you know, why do you think it's important for men specifically to come together right now? You highlighted that already. And we're seeing a lot of women's circles. We're seeing a lot of support for women. It's fantastic. It's great. But why is there so little of it actually for men, do you think? I mean, it's dissolved definitely, but I feel like men seem resistant to the idea of sitting in a circle. And I'll share my experiences of, you know, why. But what's your take on why so few men seem attracted to it and perhaps would rather go down the pub and have a pint instead?
Yeah, I mean, God, there's so many answers and possible answers. I mean, for one thing, you know, it can be uncomfortable, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it isn't something that we're brought up with. I mean, I know that these are broad brush judgments that I'm kind of pushing out there at the moment as I talk about this stuff. But, you know, I mean, there is this more culturally accepted idea that women are better at gathering and talking in circles, and you know, however that may be, you know, whether it's you know, when you know, mothers groups, for example, you know, I've taken my daughter to a mother's group and I'm always the only guy who shows up there, but they just, you know, there's a sense of gathering there, and I think that guys aren't as good at the sense of gathering, and therefore there's a discomfort in doing that, you know? So partly it's because it's new. I think partly it's because, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, the skill level of actually just being able to simply communicate how you're feeling and thinking, for many men, is just not there, you know? So there's they can feel like there's an inadequacy, I think, is one. And then there's also this there's so much misconceptions about it too, you know? I think that, and I know that you're going to share some stories about this, but, you know, the misconceptions about what it actually is, and that, you know, it's all a bit airy-fairy, or that, you know, it's just guys dancing around nude, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, you know, there are lots of judgments and misconceptions that it's not a masculine thing to do. You know, and that really gets in the way as well, you know, alongside the whole, you know, I don't need help, I'm sweet, I don't need to talk about my shit, you know, all those kinds of things that many blokes will lay out as well.
Absolutely. Well, let me kind of, share kind of my experiences of different circles, so we can sort of frame what they can look like when done in a way that neither you or I would be excited about, to say it mildly, and then sort of focus on what it can actually look like, right? Just to give anyone out there that's interested, male or female, just, you know, a sense of what we actually do there. So, you know, my first ever experience, a friend invited me to a circle, and I didn't understand. It was like it had a meaning. I just thought it was a bunch of guys sat around, friends of his, but no, it was an event, and we sat in a circle. But before I even got to introduce myself or feel safe and get to know any of these men, we were asked as a warm up to run around the room in a big circle together, and then the facilitator would call out an emotion which we then had to embody. So one minute he'd say, like, you're feeling sad, and all these men are running around going, and then suddenly I know you're happy, and they're like arms in the air, and I was just dying inside.
Imagine fucking horrific.
I can imagine people out there just, you know, dying with me, like, going, can you imagine doing that? So that was not a great way in. And we sat around, and everyone had to say their name and what their purpose was. And that just immediately made me think, oh, okay, I'm not quite clear what that is. I haven't managed to put it into a sentence. Is there something wrong with me? So the work was geared around, like, this is you, this is your purpose, and you state it. And it was just, it was really challenging. And I'm not just saying that no one in that circle found value in that work themselves, but for someone to come in, it was, you know, I didn't want to go back. You know what I mean? I reconvened with those men again, because I thought, okay, like, get over yourself. But I'm really open to these kind of things and experiences. And so I'm a little different. I'm a bit weird. But that was tough. I've also been in circles where I've just found it to be like that one person's led and asked men, you know, what's going on in their lives. But there was no structure to it, and it just felt rambling. And, you know, people just started throwing in opinions about, like, politics at the moment. And you just sat there going, what the fuck has this got to do with me and my life? You know, and us connecting. It was just like, this could just be actually just be down the pub. And the facilitator had a habit of, you know, after you'd finished maybe sharing something, he'd then give you feedback on it and maybe coach you on it. And I was like, man, like, I didn't come here to be fed back to or coached. I didn't ask for that fundamentally either. So that wasn't okay for me. You know what I mean? And then let's go to the other extremes of, let's call them immersions, that you would go away for like maybe a weekend or even a week. And this is where it can be quite extreme. And there's you can be running around through the forest. I've been told to lay down on my back and, like, with the other men around me, pretend that we're babies. Again, cringing, dying inside. I actually shut off mentally. I was like, I can't do this. it was a safe space hadn't been created first. And then the positive side of it, let's just finish on a positive. There's one guy, he hasn't given me permission to use his name right now, but he leads these immersions and they're fantastic. You know, there's a lot of presence building. Yes, walking through rice fields stoically, but like lots of embodiment work where you're working with a partner and there's challenge, there's physicality, and he's speaking to these different ideas of what the masculine and feminine can be. And at the end of it, I, you know, having come in feeling so afraid and weird around these other men, and you know, all shaping, what's the phrase? We're all looking at each other and figuring each other out, right? But by the end of it, we felt like brothers. And that was a genuine feeling, you know, like some of them I'm still in touch with on a weekly basis. So that's powerful work, and it's shaped my life. So I've shared some different extremes, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on anything that stood out for you, what worked, what didn't, and just to speak to, or find a way to speaking to your approach, because I find that you're in the middle of that. You know, the way that you lead stuff is, I love it. And that's how I would then choose to lead my circles. You know, it's very much in the middle of that. So what are your thoughts?
Cool. And just an idea on top of that too, I think what would, as we get into that, we'll also, a couple of good questions to talk about, you know, is what is the difference between the circle and the pub, or sitting in a circle and going to a pub, and also what this thing about, you know, why men doing it on their own rather than not having mixed circles, or you know, what's the difference, you know, because they're all very valuable, right? But what's the difference between men sitting in a circle versus men sitting with men and women? Yeah, so we'll go through those two, eh?
Okay.
So I'll add to what you just shared too, because you know, I've done a few different types of men's immersions, men's retreats, and you know, the first one I got into was years ago, 15 years ago now, and I've mentioned it before, I think, the Mankind Project. And you know, their philosophy, it's very much integration of kind of local, indigenous, kind of timeless male rituals, initiations, you know, but very powerful ones. This idea of, you know, one of the underlying themes is this idea of kind of becoming a part of something, initiated into something, you know, which can sound a bit cultish, you know.
But, yeah, I'm not. In, I'm
yeah, no, I know. But also, you know, it's unfortunate in some ways that has this idea of that this idea of initiation has kind of got that feeling and that sense of it, because again, there is this kind of historical thing right through humanity of initiation, right? Boyhood to manhood, whatever you want. Initiation into marriage, you know, however you want to describe it. So there's men's groups that do these initiation rites, and then there's some of it is just purely other stuff I've done. It's just purely self-development, any normal self-development course that I might go on, except it just happens to be that it's all men as opposed to being a mixture of men and women. And so I'm going to take that and segue into, you know, why is it actually really important to create spaces where men are just with men? Because I know it's really, it is hyper important for us all to do stuff together, but the value in for me in just doing it with men is that it creates a, interesting enough, there's a level of freedom and safety, I think, for me as a man to really dive into my vulnerabilities a little bit more when I'm just supported by men. It kind of carries this different energy. Every time I've been in a circle where there are men and women, the energy is different, and I can try to explain what that might be, but you know, that would just be me trying to explain something I'm not 100% sure. It's just different. The conversations are different. They carry a different flavor, a different kind of sense to it. Whereas when it's just men, it opens a door to this idea, because it's a shared experience, right? It's as men, I think, you know, particularly around this thing of needing to ask for help or sharing what's going on, you know, there's a, I'm probably more likely to know how difficult it is for a man than I am for a woman, as a broad judgment, right? And so there's something, the value of that, of just being in a man, and that shared experience is really powerful. Do you have anything to add to that, Richie?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. One is that, as I've learned, you know, the one thing that men are most terrified of is to be like humiliated by a woman, you know? And so that sense of being vulnerable in front of women is kind of doubled for us. And I think that's a societal thing. I think there's a lot more to that than I understand. I won't claim to kind of know the psychological roots of it, but it really resonates. And that I resonate with that idea of just being able to just be more real and be more vulnerable and practice doing that. There's a lot less, there's still risk, but there's less risk doing it around other men than there is when women are there too. I wonder if you and I, you know, speak for everyone, or if there's, you know, other people find it very different. I don't know if there's an overall truth to that or not, but that speaks to me definitely.
Yeah. Well said. Now, so the other question that we kind of posed there before, you know, the difference between, you know, sitting in a circle and going to a pub, you know, what's the value in that? What's the value in men actually taking the time and creating? And I'm keen to hear from you too, Richie, about, you know, why create that space? Because, you know, you could argue that, you know, sitting around in the pub is actually, there is a lot of value, and historically that, you know, that you could actually say that that's true, right? There's certainly a camaraderie and a bond that gets developed from that. But I think, it's this intention, right? I think having the intention of being in that place in support of other, you know, consciously choosing to show up and be in support of other men, and knowing, and also going in there, you know, the number of times I've gone in there, walked into a circle and just put my hand up and just said, I need some support right now. You know, I need to be able to tell a story, let out a scream, you know, cry, whatever. And I've walked into that circle knowing that I'm going to get that all I need to do is ask, and I'm going to get all of that, you know? And so there's that's probably the only place in the world that I know that I've had over my years that I can guarantee that safety and that support is going to be there. And that's, for me, the difference between constantly showing up to a circle and having a beer with my mates after a game of football, even though there is huge and immense value in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add to that. And from a facilitation point of view, like, I'm a trainer and facilitator. I've been doing that for like 15, 16 years. And that's the difference, you know, the structure, right? So down the pub with your mates, it's like, you know, you're drinking and maybe Jeff rocks up and then the conversation shifts. And maybe it's interesting, maybe you're having a good laugh, you know, but we can have a very good laugh in the circle. But there's a structure to it. And when someone's facilitating it, they're leading it in a direction. They're also going to be open to letting it just flow sometimes. So you can come in with an idea, but actually this has come up for Barry and Barry wants to talk about this. And then suddenly a conversation opens up. Great. But there's still a structure. And it's like, hang on, that we're getting into opinion now, and like, and guiding it so that, you know, you can sense the flow of what's going on, right? And you can see, like, there's something here. Are people engaged? Are they not? And it's a fine art. And I wouldn't say I have it down, but watching you lead it and sense the energy of the room and just kind of moving it in whatever direction it needs to feels really important. I think that element is that's what would separate it from, you know, just down the pub with your mates type thing. And again, like you said, there's value to that, but giving each man at the beginning, at least, the chance to just say, this is what's real for me, watching everyone open up as each man kind of shares, what's going on for them, that can just generate something. And for the one that shows up and is a bit sort of nervous and reserved at first, totally get it. That was me. They all always report afterwards just and say, okay, just seeing other men share that fact that they needed support or releasing that tension, you know, punching whatever materials we've got to punch in there, or just, you know, just saying, fuck, I don't know. I'm feeling shit this week, enables them to go, ah, it's normal to say that with other men. Got it. And there's the shift. And you don't typically get that down the pub, I would say, because it's not a safe space to do that. You know, like anything can come in at any moment. The alcohol is the way that to open that possibility up. But then, you know, by and large, having managed bars for, you know, for several years, you know, they're just gonna be sat in the corner kind of weeping, or then key stuff happens, and you know, it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you there. And I think, you know, as I was listening to your talk there, Richie, you know, you talked about, you know, this idea of facilitation, and one of the questions you posed earlier on at the start of the podcast, you know, was this, you know, what, or just recently was, you know, what does a circle look like, or what, you know, what are the experiences that you're looking to have and trying to create? And what I add to that is, you know, I think both of us, we can add to this is, you know, what do we think are some of the real key elements that go towards making a really successful circle? Because I, you know, having sat in circles for 15 years, and as you've just explained in some of your stories, you know, I mean, it's really easy to miss the mark, I think, with a circle. And it's also, but there's also lots of different flavors to them as well. And once, you know, once more, I think, as we go into this, I really want to reiterate that everybody has a different need. You know, all men have got a different need, and we're going to be getting drawn to a different type of thing. It's just like, you know, that dancing around doing your emotion. I mean, that's going to speak to some men, right? So it's really important that what we're suggesting is not to do that. But what I also know for me personally is, yeah, I would be, that's like way out of my comfort zone to be doing that. I'm really happy sharing my deepest, darkest emotions, but then getting up and dancing it around in a circle would be a step too far. But yeah, so I think, you know, for me, the key elements to making a really successful circle are the most important thing, and you said the word is safety, right? Is feeling as if I am safe and everybody else is safe in this circle. Because in terms of this idea of men's work, if we are to do this work, and if we're to attempt to solve the shit that we're carrying, or to explore it, or to release it, or to move forward and become better versions of ourselves, the way that's going to happen is through safety, right? And some of the things that I know that create safety, one of the key ones is obviously what's said in the room stays in the room. And, you know, you demonstrated that perfectly before by talking about, you know, not getting permission to bring in a man's name into this conversation. You know, that's safety, right? That's the Vegas rule. What goes on tour stays on tour. What's said in the circle stays in the circle, unless you get permission to bring that out. So, you know, that's a real key one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
because we're going to go into the step-by-step process, if you will, or you know, as we go deeper, just, you know, as we see in that circle, the definition of a circle is, there's a structure to it. There's an integrity to that. And you don't bring your fucking phone in with you, you know?
That's right.
Like, put it away. Like, yeah, a cup of tea, you're present. Do your best to stay present. We'll all zone out in different moments, but, you know, you're here in this circle for an hour and a half. And already that's a challenge for some people, I find. So like just coming with that intention, putting your phone to one side, I lose it when people start, you know, it's just, I feel disrespected and I actually don't feel safe. I'm like, you know, how committed are you to this? Even if the topic isn't sort of necessarily personal or deep, like I want you to show up in full presence as to the best of your ability. And so I feel that's an important thing to state right from the start, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, you know, so what you're just starting, what we're doing right now is kind of, it's almost like, you know, a circle contains, it's like ground rules, right? It's, you know, how is this circle going to function? And what I think the single most important thing for any circle, it doesn't matter how that circle is then going to function. If it's a circle of men dancing around and doing all this stuff, what is going to make that the most successful version of itself is the ground rules that you set. So if you start, for me, a successful circle, the first thing you do is you put the ground rules out, and then that kind of opens the door for everything else, right? You know, the ground rule of keeping your phone off, the ground rule of what's said in the room stays in the room is really, really important. Because if you're then going to ask somebody to dance around, like one of the ways that I need to know that if I feel like a twat, that person across the room who I may or may not know or whatever, that man across the room is not going to then go out and tell a story about how shit my dancing was, right? So it's like that, having that ground rule is going to allow me to be much more expressive. It's going to allow me to say what I need to say, but it has to be said at the beginning, right? And I think this is the key. It's the key to everything, how the group is started and set up. And you know, so we could very easily rattle off. I could very easily rattle off the key ground rules as I see them. So there's, you know, what's said in the circle stay, or said or done in the circle stays in the circle.
Right.
Using I statements is a really important one, in my opinion, which is, you know, as we talk about something, we own the words that are coming out of our mouth by saying I. You know, I did this, I feel this, I experienced that, I think, etc.
As opposed to,
you know, one of the classic things in English language, and I'm a New Zealander, and I find that New Zealanders are, you know, superstars at this particular form of speaking. It's, we use the word you or one when we're really talking about ourselves. And so a classic example for that would be, when you're talking about and trying to set up a podcast about, you know, men and for men, you know, and you're trying to organize it with a mate, and you know, the thought process you have is, you know, who am I to think that I can do this? Whereas if that's very different than me going, you know, I've been thinking about doing a podcast for a wee while, and I had a really good conversation with my mate Richard, and you know, by back and forth we were thinking, you know, who are we to do this? You can hear the difference, right? Just the ownership of
Ownership, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. And to correct men in that space, I think it's really, really helpful, because it's just like bringing us back to presence and awareness in the moment of like, hang on, I'm responsible, I'm aware, I'm taking ownership of my feelings. So absolutely. Another example that stands out to me is, you know, you're really tired and you just can't be bothered. It's like, who can't be bothered? It's like, okay, sorry, hi.
Yeah.
So then we're just right back in our bodies a lot of the time. You know, it's that gesture to come back into your body, which I can't demonstrate here, but okay, I'm feeling tired. It's like, ah, thank you. Because otherwise, it's a lack of integrity. I mean, that sounds quite harsh, but we need to retrain ourselves to sort of take more responsibility in how we think and feel ourselves, right? So this is also something important to set up from the beginning. And although it might sound like a teacher's correcting you at the beginning, it's like, well, you know, get over it. We're doing it to support each other, because when you stand in your own power, your own strength, your own integrity, regardless of how you, you know, your gender, that's a beautiful feeling, right? And so we're supporting each other to do that. So yeah. I find that super important.
Absolutely. And I know from a relationship perspective, if I use I statements, even when I'm talking to my partner, I tell you what, it makes a huge difference, man. It's such a difference, eh?
Right.
In terms of the connection and just how profound it is. So, yeah, it's always been a big one for me personally.
I'm conscious of the time, and I think this is almost going to be a two-parter. So I want to wrap up the setup, you know, and I think it'd be great to continue the conversation as to what kind of work can be done in a second podcast, because we've got so much to say. We planned this out to an extent, but it's juicy, right? So just to kind of keep within our own structural integrity, you know, of how long these podcasts want to be, right? Let's not ramble and let's be concise. Yeah. So let's finish off those pieces, you know, these ground rules, and then we'll move into a second podcast.
Sweet.
Week.
Sounds good,
think?
Richie. Yeah, it sounds good. And I can be quite succinct because this next one is the other one that I feel is super important. And that's the, we never give another man a piece of advice unless he specifically asks for it. And for me, that is possibly the single most powerful thing that allows a circle and for men to dive, right? It fucks me off without beyond belief when somebody starts telling me what I should or shouldn't do. It's like one of the philosophies that I've always had is we all know what we need to do. Sometimes we need support. We might need more to gather more information. But I know I can make decisions. I don't need somebody telling me what I should or shouldn't do unless I want to know. And that's the key, right? Sometimes I do really want to know and I ask for it. But so you talked about the role of facilitator. One of the big key roles of any facilitator of a men's circle or any circle, in my opinion, is paying real attention to that ground rule, because that can sabotage a circle in a heartbeat when people start giving. And you've talked about that tonight.
Yeah, I got no time for that. It's and that's me being that's me setting clear boundaries and sticking to them. And you know, even if I'm dying to say to a guy, "Fuck, man, you just need to XYZ," you're like, "Yeah, got it." Just because I can see that doesn't mean that's what he needs to hear. It doesn't mean that that's what he needs, right? It's like we as men, women have often said, and I've said it before, need to learn to just listen. And you know, women have said that specifically. I just needed to be heard. And like, when we can like embody that quality in ourselves and just hold back on that sort of need to fix things and give advice, we've really learned something. And the other person just feels heard and seen. It's fantastic. So this idea that, you know, it comes from the right place, you know, it comes from a desire often to serve, right? But it's like, it's still coming from the self. It's still coming from like, well, I know what's better. It's like, this isn't about you, brother, man. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like you're in your head, you're not in the collective, right? So that's the problem. It's like you don't understand what's appropriate yet. So I can feel myself kind of like standing tall and using pretty strong language and tone as I'm saying this, but that's really an important kind of step that we all need to understand and embody, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the piece that as you're sharing that, because I'm with you on the energy of that one of the things that I'm hoping is people are listening to this is that these ground rules, they're life rules, right?
Right.
The more time I'm in circle, the more time I begin to notice outside of the circle, you know, how people, when we interact with each other, we break these ground rules because they're not actually stated, right? I know I don't have these ground rules set up with most people in my life, but I noticed that by not having them, actually how different the conversations are, that they're chalk and cheese. Like having those ground rules of just not giving advice, of using I statements, of knowing that what I say is not going to be said anyway, it just changes the dynamic completely. And you know, and there's a few more which I actually, you know, they're smaller ones, but so I don't think we'll go into those now. We can kind of get into the next podcast, Richie, because I think we've kind of nailed that, hammered this point about the ground rules. I think it'll be good to just kind of wrap this up. What do you reckon?
Agreed. Yeah, and with any luck, then the next podcast will actually be available already for people if they want to jump into the next one. So because this topic feels juicy to me, and the fact that we have to pause is kind of annoying, but
yeah exactly,
it is what it is.
But it is good.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk more about this. Let's wrap it up there for now, mate. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for sharing your experience and wisdom, and we'll speak again very soon.
Yeah, thanks, Richie. And I really appreciate everything you've done and doing, mate. It's gold. Until we speak again.
Love you, man. Take it easy.
Love you too, bro. Bye. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.